It's a great passage of scripture in the book of Deuteronomy I'd like to look at with you this evening. Deuteronomy chapter 30. The text is really, context starts about verse 15, and so I'll briefly kind of summarize this. But here, towards the end of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses says to the Israelites, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. Now watch this passage. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. God's an amazing God. He laid before the Israelites practical ways to choose life. If you haven't underlined that statement, choose life, you need to. You want to, you ought to, because it's your choice. That passage in and of itself indicates that we are free moral agents, that God gave us choice. It is never God's will to see man perish, but that man would repent and come to the knowledge of the truth that will set him free. But that requires a choice. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4 for just a moment. Deuteronomy 4, I'll lay out the practical solutions here, how to not get this wrong, how to choose correctly in a few quick passages. Deuteronomy 4, he'd already said this as he is reiterating the law of Moses before his death. In verse 1, he says, Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Now watch verse 2. Here's the practical. Don't add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Now, fast forward to chapter 6. Did you get that there in chapter 4 where he says, don't add to and don't take away, don't diminish from the word of God. Get it right. Stick to the text. Do what I say. That's the choosing life principle in Deuteronomy 30 that he's talking about. You choose life by these principles and premises. Don't be guilty don't say to God, I added a little bit of salt when I didn't want salt to it. You leave it alone. Don't take away from it. I said, just do what I say. Now, in Deuteronomy 6, sometimes called the Shema Israel, which is a very important text to the Jews, even to this day. You remember verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that thou may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Every high priest wore an instrument on their forehead that had a box on it. And enclosed in that box, sometimes in a sliver of silver engraved in Hebrew letters, was verse 4, written and rolled up and put in on that box, and they would wear it around their head. We'd kind of think of it like a bandana or some kind of a headband, but it was a holy garment that they would wear on their forehead. And verse 4 was enclosed in that little box. And one of the oldest manuscripts, one of the oldest fragments of scripture we have on record to this day, archived in some museum somewhere where I couldn't tell you where it's at. I just remember reading about it years ago. is a silver sliver of this passage in Hebrew that was removed from one of these boxes. Verse 4, here it is. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now, in verse 7, I want to emphasize something quickly. Watch how the Israelites were to have the word of God in their heart in verse 6. But in verse 7, they were to teach them diligently unto the children. And by doing so, they would talk of them when they sit in the house, when they walk in the way, when they lie down, and when they rose up. They would be bound for a sign upon thine hands and frontlets between thine eyes. And there's again where they would take the tradition and they would apply that instrument, that passage, before their foreheads. And never forget this context. Now, the context is very interesting. I want you to look at verse 7 again where it says, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. The word teach there in the Hebrew literally means to whet or sharpen, like whetstone, W-H-E-T. It means to like sharpen a knife. And so what the Hebrew writer here is saying, Moses is writing by inspiration, is that the children need to be sharp. And they will be sharp when they are taught the word of God, but then practically, the parent, the dad, will show them in the way in which he goes by choosing life. His everyday life demonstrates the Word of God in his life, in everything he does, in his conversations with mankind, with business, with school, whatever he does, the way he treats animals, the way he does his life, he will do it godly. And that child has a chance to then choose life and be sharp. Honed, sharpened like a knife. And that's where we're failing today. And that's where children don't have a clear choice right now. They're so distracted, as Mike mentioned a moment ago, by all the distractions in the world. The world's on fire, but heaven is still secure. And our children need to know that. They don't need to be afraid of this virus. They need to know that God is in heaven. He loves them. And I've chosen not to promote fear with my children. That's been a motive from the very beginning. Not to be a denier, not to be an unrealistic person, but to not choose fear, but to choose faith and to show them that there's a God in heaven that loves them. And that's what this is talking about. They had viruses then, we have viruses now, and God said, you stay faithful and focused on my word, and I will bless you. No matter what happens. Now watch this passage. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we quote this all the time, but please let me emphasize something. You remember in 2 Timothy 2:15 where Paul says to Timothy to study. I really don't like that idea. I like the idea of spoudazo in the Greek, which literally means to give diligence. I mean, study, we take the idea of memorizing that. You know, meditate, and that's a part of it. But the idea really is spoudazo in the Greek. It literally means to give diligence, to hasten toward it, to be hungry and thirsty for it. And see, there's a difference there. Sometimes we feel pressure to have to study to get the test answer correct. But boy, we can't wait till that test is over. I'm done with that. And we walk away from it. No, Paul is telling Timothy here in 2 Timothy 2:15 to give diligence to it. To don't set it aside. Don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. But here's this little statement in this passage where he's talking about the Word of God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. That statement there is from a Greek word, orthotomeo, I think, or something like that. And if you hear that word, if you're in the medical field, you can hear the word ortho, orthopedics, orthodontics, something like straight teeth or straight bones. And literally in the original language, he's telling Timothy to cut straight. Isn't that interesting? As Moses told the fathers, of the Israelite children to whet your children, to sharpen your children, to teach them how to cut straight, to be sharp like a knife. So Paul is telling Timothy to cut straight, to be sharp with the Word of God. And if so, you will be approved and you will be unashamed and you will live. And did you hear what I said? You will live, you will choose life as God said to choose life back in Deuteronomy 30. Now one more final point. Going back to Deuteronomy, I found this interesting several years ago in my study. And it just, I was so happy when I saw this. And I hope that you will too be happy. You remember in Deuteronomy 29, these passages often are taken from their context but never left in their context. And I'm not saying that that's always bad. I'm just saying that, boy, when you go back and put them in their context, you'll go, wow, now I see what God was saying to the people of God. So look at Deuteronomy 28, or 29, the end of the chapter, verses 27 through 29. The anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day. Now you may be wondering, why are you doing this? Why are you showing us this passage? Well, I'm going to show you because we were just in chapter 30. You remember in chapter 30 there, where we pointed out that passage where it said choose life in verse 19? Well, this is connected to chapter 29 now, verse 29. Look at what he says. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. That passage there, God says, don't be preaching metaphysics. That's not your job. That belongs to me. Leave it alone. Don't preach things that are secret and unrevealed that I haven't told you about. Don't get into all this crazy stuff like angels and all this Holy Spirit stuff that's false. You know, things that people say that they can't prove, they just like to talk about. I'm not very patient with people who like to just talk about things that I ain't got time for all that because it's just metaphysics. God gave me a world that's real. You're real. I'm real. And I'm supposed to preach the gospel to you because I'm a man that's overcome sin because of Christ. And I know what he can do for you. And I know what he did for me. And I'm excited about that. And I want to preach that. And I know that heaven's real, but I haven't seen it. So I have to be careful what I say about heaven. I can't speak any more than what God has spoken on heaven. But I have to speak very clearly about what he's spoken on heaven. And hell and so forth and so on. But don't be preaching things that I haven't told you to preach. Don't add to, don't subtract from. It's the same principle. Now look at chapter 30. Because in chapter 30... this is where we were just a moment ago in verse 19 where he says, I've set before you life. Therefore, choose life in verse 19. But look at verse 11. As you would back up just a hair in this context, he says, this commandment is not hidden from you. There's a temptation with people today to say, well, I don't know the Bible. I don't know what it says. And they're pleading ignorance as an appeal to be okay. Like God's going to say in the day of judgment, okay, you were ignorant. Come on in. When you had all the opportunity in the world, he's not going to do that. So he tells the Israelites here, this commandment is not hidden from you. So don't say who's going to go to heaven or who's going to go out in the sea, verse 12 and verse 13, and get the commandment because in verse 14, the word is very nigh unto you. It's in your mouth and in your heart that you may... you see that last phrase there in verse 14? Now, I love our God because he hasn't asked me to do anything I can't do. He's a practical God. And his word works. What he's taught us works. If we will do it, it will work. My word will not return to me void. It shall accomplish that which I send it out to do, is what he told Isaiah, and Isaiah writes that for us in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Man, I get excited about the Word of God. But so he tells them, it's right here that you can do it, and we can do it. Now go Romans 10, and I'm going to get down off my high horse. I was on a real horse today, and that booger got a little excited when my dog jumped in a water trough and went swimming. And then the dog jumped out of the water trough and went to shake it off, and that horse took a little dive and busted my saddle. I had to take it over to a... but I survived it. But I was on a real horse earlier, but I'm now on a spiritual high horse. I need to get off of it, don't I? All right, look at Romans chapter 10. Paul, you remember this verse in verse 17? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, we quote that passage. Our faith comes from where? Right there, the word of God. You can't call it faith if you didn't get it from the Bible, from God's word. Now, look at what he says in this context. He quotes right over there in Deuteronomy 29 and 30, verse 5 and following. Moses was describing the righteousness which was of the law. The man that doeth those things shall live by them. The righteousness of faith speaks on this wise. Don't say in your heart, who's going to go to heaven? For here Paul makes application in the spiritual world in the New Testament and said, that's to bring Christ down. Well, he's already been here. He's not coming back down to reveal new revelations. The Mormons are wrong on that. Be kind to them, but tell them they're wrong and show them this passage. Who shall descend into the deep? Don't say that. Moses has already said that. That's to bring Christ up from the dead again. He's already done that job. There's no more new revelation. But what does the Bible say? What did God say then? What does he say now? The word is right here. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That's the word of faith that we preach. That's why preaching the word is important. Nothing else, nothing less, nothing more. And so then he talks about confession. How do you want to bring about a true confession? Preach the word right here before us. Look at verse 10. For the heart, from the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Get the word of God in the heart of man, and man will begin to start confessing things that he's never confessed before. Man will start to confess, I'm a sinner. I need to repent. Because what does God do for us? He shows us the light. And he exposes darkness in our heart if we'll listen to him. And a man that's humble will say, I need to correct that. And God has shown me how to do that. And so this whole context here is about preaching the gospel, preaching the word, and that's where we get to verse 17. It's called the righteousness of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I go back to what Moses said in Deuteronomy 30. Choose life. Choose life. Whose life? Who gave us life? Who defines life? Who tells us what life looks like? God does. And Christ perfected it when he went to the cross and said, I'm going to get you out of this bad situation that you got yourself in. And I'm going to show you how to get out of here. And so he dies on our behalf. Sheds his blood, literal, physical, fleshly blood, and dies. Gives up his own spirit. He's buried and arises. Comes back to life and says, now you can live. What's holding you back? You can live. And I'm telling you, I've never been more excited in my life to live than in these days. Choose life because Christ made it possible. That's what being a Christian is all about. Take his word, live by it, and you can have a great life. If you're here and you have not repented of your sins and you know you need to, you're prepared, you've made your mind up, that starts in the heart. The heart brings about then confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I'm willing to do whatever he says. I'll go wherever he says to go. I'll humble myself and I'll live for him because his way is right. I can do it. I can live by it. And God will bless me. Be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Baptized. And you can arise to walk in that newness of life. Romans 6, 3 and following. Isn't that wonderful? We have such a powerful message. Why would anybody ever be ashamed of the gospel? That's why I insist upon this in my family when our children have friends over, secular friends. We've talked about that a lot lately. Your friends will know about the church and his people, and they will be invited to come to church. And I love that opportunity because we teach the Bible to them all the time. Working on that young lady's terror right now. She wants to come back. But that's a prerequisite. Come to my house. We're going to study the Bible. We're going to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to go to church on Sunday, and you can come to Wednesday too. Because we're going to, again, promote the truth and help people choose life. God said, choose life. Have you chosen life? Can we help you in any way? Why don't you let us know then as together we stand and we sing. Won't you come, please?